worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 8. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Again, that was Matthew chapter 6, verses 8 through 15. Father, again, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the fact that you're a God of grace, a God of mercy, full of loving kindness and grace. Thank you for the fact that you both teach us to forgive and you forgive us as well. Empower us to be the believers that receive your forgiveness, who offer forgiveness, and walk in the power of your love and forgiveness each and every day. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. Our producer is Rick Robertson. He's going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, because of who you are, we're thankful that we can approach this broadcast with great expectations, knowing you're a sovereign God, that you orchestrate things. And Father, we believe that you have brought a group of listeners together today to hear this message. And Father, we pray that they will receive it as from you, the things that are truth that you speak through Joseph and the guest, that they will receive that, they'll cling to it, and they will apply it to their lives, depending on you to strengthen them and you to be their guide. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. We want to remind you once again, our spring share-a-thon is just a few weeks away. The dates are May the 19th through the 21st. And we're asking every listener to pray for the Lord to anoint and bless and prosper tremendously, that it will be a tremendously fruitful event, and for the Lord to bless it spiritually, financially, and otherwise. So again, those dates are May the 19th through the 21st. We very much would appreciate your prayers. And I'll remind you once again, our email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We're encouraging you to email us to get some of the prayer tools and prayer and discipleship resources that we provide. One of them, of course, is Psalm 91. We're encouraging every believer to be praying Psalm 91 every day in the midst of the pandemic and all that's going on. Remember, no one can protect you like the Lord can, so praying Psalm 91 is so wise and fruitful every single day. Again, email us to get a copy, jparker@afa.net. And any other of the resources we have, feel free to let us know that you'd like to receive them as well. It's a blessing for us to have as our phone guest for the first time, Ruth Coghill. She's the author of a book, Unborn, Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace. Ruth, how are you today?
I'm well, thank you, Pastor Joseph. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on with us. And you live not too far from Toronto, Canada, is that correct?
Yes, about an hour northeast of Toronto.
Okay, what's the weather like there today?
It's cool. It's around 3 or 4 degrees. But the sun is shining, and it's a beautiful blue sky.
Okay. Did you say 3 or 4 degrees?
Yes.
That's chilly, isn't it?
It's definitely chilly, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, again, we're grateful to have you on today. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself, tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, and tell our listeners a little background to help them understand how you came to write this book, Unborn, Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace.
It's a privilege to be able to share this with you. I'm going to go back to last January the 8th, 2019. My husband and I were in the hospital. We were welcoming into the world our 13th grandchild. And when I saw our son standing there holding his first baby, my mind flipped back 30 years to when we were offered to abort the father of our new baby grandson. It was quite a startling time for me because we were offered an abortion when we were pregnant with our fourth child. And now, as I stood in the hospital watching our son hold his beautiful new son, I had a sense that God was saying, Ruth, you are experiencing, you are seeing the blessing that God passes through the generations by choosing life. And truly, it was a startling moment. And I came home from the hospital that day, last January, and knew that I needed to do something about the abortion problem that we have in Canada and the U.S. And I sensed that I needed to stop writing the fourth book in the series of Bible studies that I was working on and instead begin to write some stories. My story, but stories that had been given to me over the years from women who had aborted their babies and had lived to regret it. So that was really the beginning of Unborn Untold, which started last January and was a very, very supernatural publication in a very short period of time. So the book is actually a compilation of stories of 12 moms, 4 dads, and 1 grieving grandma, all whose lives have been impacted tremendously by abortion. Not all had abortions, but all were impacted by the word abortion or by the thought of abortion. One particular story in the book is by a woman, Jennifer, from the U.S., who was raped brutally and chose life, and her little boy now is 5 years old. And so we've had the opportunity, Pastor Joseph, of pulling together some stories that are impacting the world. They are stories that bring us to a new sense of compassion for those that are faced with unplanned pregnancies. It shows us just how different lives can be when God is brought into the picture, how he forgives, how he has no condemnation for those that turn to him, to those that are willing to go his way, ask forgiveness, and just such beautiful stories from very courageous men and women.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, as we begin, I want to ask if you'll take time now specifically to pray for listeners to really have ears to hear what the Lord would say to them, because your book has a specific mission from the Lord's heart and that they would be wide open to what the Lord may say to them through it. Would you pray for them now?
Oh, Father, we just come to you because you are so approachable and you're always listening. We ask now, Lord, that those that are listening would hear the heart of the message of Unborn Untold, that if there are those out there that have had an abortion and are feeling alone, are feeling condemned, are feeling confused and pressured, we ask that they would turn to you, that they would listen to the stories that we're going to be sharing. Father, we pray for those that are considering an abortion right now, perhaps an unplanned pregnancy, not a good time. Father, I pray that the words of Psalm 139 would ring through this radio program today, that you form every single beautiful life inside a mother's womb. We pray, Lord, that those ones that are pregnant right now and feel that they have nowhere to turn, that they would reach out to a church community, that they would reach out to a pregnancy crisis center. Father, we pray for those resources to be made known today. And we just ask for the fathers that are hurting, for the grandmas that are grieving, for all that are impacted by abortion, to listen closely today, because I believe, Father, that you want to speak through our time together. Would you just bless this time? Have ears that will hear, hearts that will be open with compassion for those that are hurting, And Lord, we just ask that your wonderful will, that your wonderful plan would be unfolded today during our time together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Again, our guest is Ruth Coghill. She's the author of Unborn, Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace. Well, Ruth, would you go right into it? Share some of the stories that are found in your book.
I want to share, first of all, Rebecca. This is a pseudonym. Rebecca was part of my Bible study for many years when I was teaching precept Bible studies. She was in her senior years when I first met her, and a delightful student of God's Word. And one day, she asked me if she could speak with me privately. So she came to my home, and over tea, she began to pour out her heart about the abortions that she had over 50 years before. And she said to me, "Ruth, you have a platform. You're a speaker. Would you tell my story?" As she began to pour out why she had these abortions, she was engaged to be married to a man that truly loved her. They loved each other, but she could not face having these babies, so she aborted two of them over their engagement time. And her fiancé begged her not to abort, but she chose to abort. She thought aborting would be better, less shameful than everybody knowing that she had been pregnant out of wedlock. When I said to her, "Rebecca, this is your story. You need to tell your story." She said, "Ruth, I can't. I'm married. I have children. And nobody knows. It's my secret." My fiancé and I broke up shortly after that second abortion, and I never saw him again. Please tell my story. And so, Pastor Joseph, my interview, my chat with Rebecca all those years ago were ringing in my heart last year when we had our 13th grandchild, and I knew that the time had come for me to tell Rebecca's story and add to her story other stories that were coming to me of women who regretted desperately their choice. And Rebecca said to me, she said, "When you're talking to women, tell them never to have an abortion. They will never, ever get over it totally." And so with that in my heart, I began to pray, "Lord, where are the stories that you want in a book? I'm only going to be compiling the stories. So I need your help, Lord. Guide me to those people that whose stories you want in Unborn, Untold." And sure enough, that following Sunday, after seeing our grandson last January, I went to our church. It was a new church to us because we had made a move. And I was standing at the back of the church, and a dear lady said to me, "I see that you've had a new grandson." And I said, "Yes, and he is a very special grandson because my husband, Bob, and I were offered to abort his father 30 years ago. And this lady, Jane, she said, "Oh my, do I have a story for you." And Jane, in the back of the church, last year
in January. I'm going to need to jump in here, and we're going to pick up with Jane's story on the other side of the break, okay? Our phone guest today is Ruth Coghill. She's the author of Unborn, Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace. We'll be right back.
Beginning and the end, you're the peace I find within.
Music of Jennifer Meikle. Great God. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Ruth Coghill. She's the author of Unborn, Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace. Ruth, if you'll pick up where we left off, you were sharing about the story of a lady named Jane.
Jane began to share with me, "Boy, have I got a story for you, Ruth." She proceeded to tell me that just 2 years prior, in 2017, she was visiting her aging parents in Australia. She'd had a very strained relationship with her mother. Jane, a born-again Christian, was loved to witness, and she was often told to please not talk about Jesus in front of her mother. And so when she went to visit in 2017, her mother was dying, literally dying, but asked her to please not talk about Jesus. And so Jane just desperately prayed for her mother during this time with her. And finally the day came when her mother broke down and told her that she and her dad, Jane's dad and mom, had aborted Jane's younger brother when Jane was just a little girl. The whole story is such an incredible, powerful story. Jane said to her mother, "Mom, you don't need to live with this bondage anymore." And so Jane led her mother to the Lord. Her mom did not believe that God would forgive her for the horrible thing that she had done. But in that time that she visited her 94-year-old mother, Jane led her mother to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the power of his forgiveness came over her mother. Jane said she had never seen her mother at peace, and she was at peace because of the Lord's forgiveness. The beautiful yet sad part of this story is 4 days later, her mom passed away. And she went straight into the arms of the Lord Jesus. Jane's message now is she didn't need to live in that bondage because the Lord forgives. But what a powerful story. She went on to lead her father to the Lord as well. And her dad became a memorizer of scripture in the last 8 months of his life. So such a powerful, powerful story in their 90s. Mm-hmm. This couple had come to know the grace and forgiveness of God and yet had lived under that dark, hidden secret all those years.
Right. That is a powerful testimony, too, from the young lady you just referred to. I want to ask, Ruth, would you pray for people that may be struggling right now who maybe have been down that same road, who are thinking like Jean's mother, that they can't get forgiveness either? Would you pray for those persons that their hearts and minds would be open to the grace of God? Okay.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of Jesus, and we thank you that you have accomplished on the cross through your death, through your burial, and through your resurrection, everything that all of us need to have the chains of sin broken in our lives. Thank you, Father, for these brave, courageous people like Jane who have shared their stories. to show that your power is so much greater than the power of darkness in our lives. And today, for those that are listening right now, I pray that their hearts would be stirred because of power of your Holy Spirit touching their lives and reminding them through Jane's story that they can be forgiven right now. We pray that you would come against the lies, Lord, that tell them that they have committed the sin that is unforgivable.
Yes, Lord.
The fact that they're listening today, Lord, is by your appointment. So we ask right now that they would turn their hearts to you, that they would ask your forgiveness, that they would repent, and that they would receive into their hearts you in all your fullness, and that the power of the Holy Spirit would change their lives, that they would walk out of slavery and bondage into your glorious freedom that you have offered us. And we'll praise your name today in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, our guest today is Ruth Coghill. She's the author of Unborn Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace. Ruth, would you tell our listeners, if they're wanting to get a copy of the book, how can they do that?
Yes, the best place to go right now is to any of your online stores. Amazon carries both the ebook and the paperback, and we would love to for you to get a copy. Right now, until May 11th, the ebook through Amazon is 99 cents, and it's regularly $7.99 in the U.S. and $9.99 in Canada. And so this is quite a special over the Mother's Day weekend. So if they can go right there and receive their copy with a click of the link.
Okay.
Unborn Untold.
All right. So they can get the 99 cent copy. That's good until, is that Monday? Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's the ebook.
That's the ebook.
Quick download.
Okay. All right.
That's correct.
All right. Well, again, if you'll just go ahead and share some more of the stories that are on your heart to share from the book. That, again, each one that you've shared so far is powerful and a reminder of the grace, the power and the grace of God at work in the hearts of people who've struggled with the tragedy of abortion one way or another. And it's powerful to see how powerfully not only a life but a family can be impacted by the tragedy of abortion as well. So do you have another story you wish to share?
I do, and this story is Amy's story. And this is really a special story in so many ways. Amy is the third daughter of a beautiful Christian couple, and Amy always felt that she wasn't quite enough. Her self-identity was never rooted in God's Word. It was never founded on God's Word, even though her family was a Bible-believing, church-going, beautiful Christian couple, and very special family times. Amy tells me that her family was just an outstanding family, but because of her very poor self-esteem, her poor self-image, she never thought she was enough. She never felt that she measured up to her older sisters. And in order to fit in as a young teenager, she began to get in with the wrong crowd and also got into drugs and alcohol and the lifestyle that often goes with it. And so she got into a lifestyle that caused her to leave home and live outside the protection of her beautiful Christian family. And then the day came that she discovered that she was pregnant. And it horrified her that she had allowed herself to come to this place in her life. And I'm going to read right out of her story from the book because she expresses it so well, how she felt. Her story is called No More Hiding. The day that she found out she was pregnant, I'm going to read how she applies or how she felt.
Okay.
And I'm reading. The strength in my legs left me, and I crashed to the floor. No, 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 no. I kept repeating through my sobs, please, God, no. I cried so hard I couldn't catch my breath. The room was spinning. I had to get out of the bathroom. I crawled along the floor and up the steps to the living room, tears still coursing down my cheeks. I was crying from a place deep down inside. The place that I had kept locked up for so long was now split wide open. My soul was raw with emotion. Loneliness, sorrow, pain, and despair all came crashing out. It was too much for me to handle. Unable to stop the tears, I lay on the floor, curled up in a little ball, holding my knees, and I was crying for more than my situation. I was crying for my lost soul, my lost life. I was crying for the person that I had let myself become. Hours later, I awoke, still on the floor. My face was wet, my throat raw, and my nose bleeding. Clambering to my feet, I stumbled back to the bathroom to clean myself up. Disgust filled me as I stared at the face in the mirror. Tears welled up again. "Keep it together," a voice inside my head said. "You can fix this, and no one will ever know. It'll be like it never happened." End of quote right there. Amy went on to struggle with the thought, what should she do? And I'm reading again. I tried to stop the constant battle that raged inside my head, but I couldn't. The lies just kept coming. "You would be a horrible mother. You'd never be able to stay sober. How could you afford a child? You can't keep it and marry him. You'd be stuck forever. You would be this woman you detested, this worthless, hopeless shell of a person, forever trapped, forever an addict, living this life permanently." No, that wasn't going to happen to me. The lies started to make more sense. "You only have one real option. Have an abortion, and things can go back to normal. No one will ever find out." Day by day, the lies chipped away at my spirit. Slowly, my strength of mind faded, and I found myself seriously considering abortion. I knew it was murder. I knew it was appalling. Most of all, I knew no one could ever know. I booked the appointment. And end of quote at that point. And Pastor Joseph, Amy did go on to have an abortion. She did not tell her parents at that particular point, but continued to live in the lies for so long. Drowning my thoughts with drugs and alcohol, refusing to lay my secrets open and bare before God, I lived two lives, part of me desperate for God and part of me a hopeless addict, too afraid that if I let God into my shame, he would reject me, too afraid to trust him with my secrets. After all, it wasn't as though I didn't know abortion was wrong. I knew, and I chose it anyway. My choice had not only taken the life of my precious baby, it was now slowly killing me, too. My hands had innocent blood on them. Acknowledging that would rip my heart from my chest and crush my soul to dust. But God is patient, gentle, and loving toward us. And one Sunday, he spoke directly to my heart. "I love you. I will not forsake you. I will not cast you aside." A picture formed in my mind as clear as day. The picture of Jesus on the cross, his body bloody and mangled. God saw to the very core of my being, dirty, ugly, and shameful. God had seen me, the choices I would make, the horrible things I would do, and he still sent his precious son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me. Why would he do that if he didn't love me? She goes on to share how one Sunday in church, the pastor asked for those that wanted to come forward to forgive, to be forgiven of their sins. She went forward, and I'm reading again. "As I stood at the front, I felt a warm embrace around me. Tears poured down my face as my nose ran. With no thought for how I looked or for who was watching. I raised my hands high, gave everything over, and knelt before the one who had never left my side. Over the months that followed, I experienced pain, grief, understanding, and grace. God guided my steps to the Peterborough Pregnancy Support Services. There, I had a chance to participate in a post-abortive recovery program where I learned about the effects of post-traumatic stress disorder. Step by step, layer by layer, I exposed my agony, digging down deep through the shame, the lies, and the guilt. God's word became a healing balm over my shredded heart as he walked me from secrecy to honesty to freedom. And I'll end her story part with, God's grace is the glue that holds my life together.
Mm-hmm. Ruth, that's Amy's testimony is powerful and has so much in it. Thank you for sharing that. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up on the other side. Our phone guest today is Ruth Coghill. She's the author of Unborn Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace. We'll be right back.
A million different ways I gotta trust, but there's only one decision: how to live, how to love Jesus, because you are God and you're the God of my choices. Speak to me and I will run to your voice. Here I am in the noise, won't you lead me in my choices, I believe that faith is nothing, if it isn't everything, every heartbeat, every moment, whatever this day brings, this song I will sing.
Music of J.J. Weeks, Choices. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Ruth Coghill. She's the author of Unborn Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace. Ruth, would you share with our listeners again, if they'd like to get a copy of the book, how can they do that?
Any online store carries Unborn Untold. Amazon right now, over the Mother's Day weekend, does have the ebook on special for 99 cents, and you can go right there, Unborn Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace, and the link is quick and easy, and 99 cents will get you your copy. That's U.S. I believe it's $1.32 in Canada, but the books are available at all online stores. And do take advantage of this ebook special over the Mother's Day weekend. It'll be a great blessing to those that are hurting and to those that want to make a difference. You know, Pastor Joseph, this Unborn Untold, it's not just a book, but it's a movement. Mm-hmm. We are discovering that stories like this are life-changing, and we are praying that Unborn Untold the movement will make a difference in the narrative of abortion in both Canada and the United States and possibly around the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ruth, you know, you make a very powerful point. One thing that is very true in our culture and in the world in general is true is that the testimony of an individual that is post-abortive, a woman or a man that has gone down the road of abortion, someone who's received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, they're healed and they're able to share that testimony, that is a powerful, powerful tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And the reality is Satan does not want that story to be told because it is such a powerful tool. And so there's a great need for a platform to be provided within the church for people to hear that testimony because the Holy Spirit will use it. And it's a wonderful testimony about the forgiveness that Jesus offers for those that are hurting. And as you've touched on so beautifully, there are those out there that are hurting. They're in hiding right now and don't realize that Jesus can and will forgive them if they'll simply come to him, confess their sin, repent, and ask him to forgive them. He'll do it. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We serve a loving and a forgiving Heavenly Father who's a restoring shepherd, and he will restore if we do our part. So thank you for sharing that. So any more stories that you can share with us in this last segment that our listeners can hear?
I would love to. And this time I want to share a father's story. This is Randy, and Randy is online with me sometimes sharing his story. That's another way that we're getting the message out, is having some of the contributors on online calls, mm-hmm. especially during our COVID time. And the other night, Monday night, he was on with me and sharing from his story. This story also happened two or three decades ago, mm-hmm. and his girlfriend was pregnant with his child, and he wanted this baby desperately, but she did not. And so his first baby was aborted, and as usually happens, relationships like that often do break up, mm-hmm. and that was true with Randy's story. But Randy's story is in the book. It's called God Heals, A Father's Story. And one of the things that I want to point out as I begin Randy's story in this last segment is that it's a ripple effect. In Amy's story, her Christian parents watched their daughter go through drugs and alcohol and wander away from what they had taught her. Mm-hmm. And so the ripple effect impacted those parents. It's never just one person that's impacted. And with Randy's story, it's the same. But what I want to share with you about Randy's story, he went through a very, very dark time where he felt that he could not even stand on his two feet because he was so distraught about the death of his firstborn child, his son. He came to know that it was a son. Mm-hmm. He wrote a song at one point, but he came to a point where he was so enraged, so angry with the abortionist. Mm-hmm. And it was part of the process of Randy's story he could not get beyond. And I'm going to read from his story as well because he articulates it so well, the okay. process that he went through. And he writes, "One night I was out to dinner with a friend, and the anger toward the abortionist boiled over in me. When I got home, I dropped to my knees and prayed to Jesus. I have forgiven this person many times. Why does it still bother me? Jesus spoke to my spirit and said, 'You never told him.' My first thought was that I could live with a little anger once in a while. Then I said to Jesus, 'It's late at night and I don't want to give him cause to say I was disturbing him. If I still feel this way in the morning, I will call him.' My feelings hadn't changed by morning, so I called the man who had performed the abortion, and the receptionist put me right through to him. I said, 'As a Christian man, I forgive you for taking the life of my child.' After a long pause, he hung up. The impact on me was so dramatic that I went to speak to a pastor friend of mine. The connection between me and that abortionist was broken, Now it was me and God, as Jesus continued to heal and restore me. I never felt any more anger toward the man and have been able to sincerely pray for him. And end of quote.
That's powerful, Ruth. It's very powerful.
Isn't that powerful? Yes. Mm-hmm. It really is. And Pastor Joseph, these stories, when they're told in the setting of the body of believers, I believe that we do have a tool, as you mentioned earlier, a tool that can help us to know that in the pews of our churches, when we get to go back to them, there will be hurting moms, there will be hurting dads, there will be hurting grandmas and grandpas and siblings. And so I pray that the book will be a tool that can be used. There are two things that I want to add to the listeners. In the beginning of the book, the foreword is written by a doctor, by an obstetrician gynecologist who comes alongside and embraces and recommends the book because of the compassion that is in it. And then the last chapter in the book is written by a Christian psychologist who leads people through grief after following abortion, emotional healing after abortion. So while the stories are there, we have a professional touch to it to help people to move on, not to just read the stories, but to take some further steps. Mm-hmm. And our prayer now is that churches would continue to open their hearts and their minds and their compassion to those that are hurting so that the body of Christ could make a difference in the narratives. You know, I've personally, and along with a lot of others, we've looked to our governments to make all the changes. But 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says, if my people, the body of Christ, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And so we're calling on the body of believers as well to pick up a copy of this book, to begin the conversation, to keep these women and men, fathers, grandmothers, whomever, not to keep them in secrecy and darkness.
Well,
to bring this to the light.
That's right. That's right. You touch on so many different important sides of this issue in this conversation, Ruth. I think of this, that, for example, certainly there are many hurting women out there who've gone down the road of abortions. But as you said, many hurting fathers as well, who either regretted having helped or didn't have a say. And, you know, a lot of people don't seem to realize that in many, if not all instances, the woman gets to make the tragic decision to what happens with the baby. Well, the reality is there are fathers, as you've mentioned, that wanted to keep the children but didn't have a say in the matter. But also extended family who sometimes know of an abortion of a sibling and they're hurting from it as well. You know, I'm reminded of an instance where my wife was doing a children's message, and she was talking to a group of children, and two little boys, and now she wasn't talking about abortion. She was asking them what they're thankful for, and many of them said the normal things, thankful for my mom, my family, my home. But two little boys on their own said, I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me. Well, the reality is sometimes you find children that know a sibling, a brother or sister, a cousin or a friend is not here, because the adults in my life chose to abort that child. And so even small children know what abortion is. And that's the culture and the world that we live in today. So again, there are those out there that are hurting because they've lost someone who was a part of their life, should have been a part of their life, but they didn't have the opportunity to get to know them because someone chose the road of abortion. So lots of collateral damage.
There certainly is. There's another story in the book of a woman who just never felt loved or wanted and had horrible relationships, was sexually molested, but also became very sexually promiscuous, which often happens after rape and molestation and those kinds of things. But she never felt loved. even though she was in a family of with other siblings. And after being married and struggling in every relationship she had, she discovered that her mother had wanted to abort her and really was ready to abort her. Hmm. And so the truth of God's word, that he knits us in our mother's womb, that before he created us in the womb, he knew us, and so that moment of conception, that is already a new life. And even the mother's thoughts towards that baby, while that baby is growing in her, impacts that child. And so there's such ripple effects in this whole picture of the beautiful life that God knits in the womb of a woman.
Hmm. That's right. That's right. And again, Ruth, you touch on so many important issues, and the book is such a great tool to get in the hands of any believer that wants to become an advocate for life. I would encourage every listener to try to get a hold of it. Ruth, before we run out of time, I want to invite, there might be someone listening that needs to receive the forgiveness of Jesus, and they need to receive Jesus as well. I want to give them a chance to pray that prayer. If you're listening and you want to confess to the Lord, between you and the Lord, your sin, repent of it, ask him to forgive you, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, Lord, I confess, Lord, I've sinned and I've done wrong. And by faith, I repent of the wrong I've done. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. And right now, I invite you, Lord, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me brand new. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, please email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd like to be in touch with you and to communicate with you further. Ruth, thank you so much for coming on. A beautiful book with a powerful message. Thank you for being with us today.
It's been a privilege. Thank you so much.
All right. And again, we want to encourage every single listener, get a copy of the book, Unborn, Untold, True Stories of Abortion and God's Healing Grace, a great tool and weapon to use to be an advocate for life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.